Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment. I am Karen Eden. Took a little bit of a hiatus there and reran some of my other shows. And I always say that, you know, maybe somebody needed to hear what I've said before and didn't get to, and now they've gotten something out of it. So I never question that. But I am back in the saddle, and I would like to welcome back my good friend and longtime childhood friend, Pastor Lee. Pastor Lee, thanks so much for being here with me today.
It's always good to be with you. Always good to hear your voice.
Well, you know, I just like to give a little bit of recap. You and I, as very young people, I was very young. I was a teenager, and you weren't that much older. We started in the broadcast business and radio, both of us coming out of the Roanoke-Lynchburg market and Roanoke-Lynchburg, Virginia, I guess I should say. And we went our own ways and ended up both going to seminary and into ministry. And I became an ordained chaplain and did a lot of community service, which I still do. And you ended up having a pretty big church somewhere in Kentucky. And, you know, we hooked up later on through social media, like many people do, and discovered that we had both kind of gotten out of the same thing to do the same thing, which just still kind of blows my mind away. So, as you know, because you've done radio, I'm probably going to be the radio hog here and take most of the time. But
I like it that way.
Matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't even tell him what we're talking about. I said, Lee, dude, you know what to do. Just follow my lead. And he's like, all right. So he has no idea. You and I have a lot of quote-unquote tea time conversations. And we back in the day we did and now we do, we'll tie each other up sometimes for more than an hour or two talking spiritual things, talking about life lessons and how they become spiritual guidance for both of us, and they have. And so I didn't want to in any way convolute that with this is just the way we do our coffee time or tea time talk. So
mm-hmm.
Now here we are. So now you're forced to follow my lead. So that's perfect. But anyway, I do appreciate you being here with me. I get into some of these theological discussions, and you know, it's nice to have someone to bounce off of and to hear feedback from. And so anyway, I am going to tell you now what has been impressed upon me to talk about, and that is something that a lot of people talk about but perhaps not as in-depth as I'm going to get, and that is the topic of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. So Lee, anyway, you know, let everybody know again, if you don't know, I come from a very broken home life, and I've had a lot of things that I've had to learn to forgive as I grew into a young woman, into adulthood. It's so funny because people will come up to me sometimes and go, I'm sorry if I offended you, or did I do something wrong? I want to apologize, you know, and I'm like, good heavens, I have so many other things to forgive people for that are so way bigger than what you did. I don't even think about what you did. I'm not, you know, it didn't even cross my mind, you know. It's just, there are so many other situations in my life from people that were called and trusted to protect you or entrusted to make sure that you were having your emotional well-being taken care of, or to forge you into where you needed to be when you're coming of age and into this world. And for some reason, some of us are dealt certain cards that it doesn't turn out like that. And I know I know that you're no stranger to that because, you know, you and I have very similar situations in a lot of that. You agree, yes or no, or what do you want to say about that?
Yes, we have traveled parallel paths in different states for decades, and the childhood wasn't an easy place growing up and forming an identity in the culture in which we were both born miles apart. Not easy. Frailties today where people ask forgiveness for this little thing, that little thing, it's okay, good, but that's not what you're about to talk about. Forgiveness is not at that level for it.
I'm going to go way deeper because in this world there is real evil and a lot of bad things happen to a lot of good people. And I can tell you as a chaplain who does ministry, I get that question all the time. How can a loving God allow bad things to happen to such good, innocent people? And I've actually talked about that many times, and I don't want to go off course for this evening. But here we are, Lee, you and I, and, you know, what happens is when you are called to a higher spiritual reasoning, you know that you are required and commanded to forgive and forgive freely. And what happens is then that creates even more guilt, and you feel like more of a piece of crap because you find it very hard to apply that sometimes to some of the things that can happen to you. And as a result, I sat down one day and I did a lot of research on just the mere word forgive, where it came from, what does it really mean, how do you define it? And then I take that word and try to apply it to make it very doable and workable. So hear me out, Pastor Lee. Just hear me out for one second.
Please.
The word forgive is a French word. And it basically means to give up the desire or power to punish.
Yes.
Again, it's giving up the desire or power to punish someone who has done you wrong. If you can move in that direction, you are moving in spiritual obedience. I tell people this all the time. Forgiveness is not, oh, okay, I forgive you, pretty package with a bow that you hand to somebody. When you have been mistreated, sometimes it's every day. I mean, it's sometimes it's every day to be able to access it in the chambers of your heart to forgive somebody. And so understanding forgive, to forego your power or desire to see someone else be punished because of what they did to you, keep that definition in mind because you're going to find it a lot easier to move down that path when you realize that you're giving up that power to want someone to hurt or be mistreated or punished because you have. So that, first of all, in knowing the true definition of the word forgive, it really, it makes it a lot easier. It makes it a lot easier. So, I mean, you could get very political about this and think about death penalties and a lot of other issues and how that wraps up into the definition of forgiveness. And you can ask yourself, as a spiritual person, have you really forgiven someone if you have, by definition, given up or let go of the desire or power to punish someone because of what they've done to you? Are you with me, Pastor Lee?
It's a beautiful definition. And I would like to add, there are folks who have endured loveless marriages, who have been abused children, who have had a traumatic event interrupt life, who learn forgiveness isn't an event as much as it is a process of events. And we have to take action, make choices to be a forgiving soul in this world.
Well, and that action is giving up the power. You really have to give up power to forgive someone. And so I'm going to go over some of those steps. To maybe make it easier just from my own personal experience. And I'm not, again, I come with a disclaimer. you know, people look at me and think everything is just beautiful and great. If you actually listen to my shows, you will hear me say, I am a very broken person who has had to feel her way around and climb sometimes and scratch out of situations to have any type of fortitude and power that I now have. Thanks, all thanks be to God. But if I don't dispense that to other people, I have made everything that I've endured in vain. So I do let people know that. And I do let people understand that, you know, what you see on Facebook sometimes is not the full throttle of what's going on in anybody's life, and certainly not mine. But anyway, when it comes to giving up that power to forgive, I want to put a few notations on that so that maybe that can help you be able to do that. The first thing in giving up your power to want to punish somebody because they've done you wrong is understanding that in the world and the dimension of good and evil, your thoughts and your tongue, what you say, will manifest your destiny. It will either bring about in your world blessings, or it will bring about in your world curses. The things you think and the things that you say. Going back and revisiting the wrong that was done to you, or talking evil about someone who did you wrong, will actually cause a downfall in your own path. Take a second to think about that, because I didn't make this stuff up. It's all in the Bible. You can read it, whether it's Proverbs 18:21 that talks about the life and death is held in the power of your tongue, whether it's in the Pauline epistles, which talks about how you manifest your thoughts into hope and into your destiny. This is all stuff that has been already recorded in our book, in the Bible, thousands of years ago, that is still very relevant for today. You need to be very careful about your thoughts and what you say, even to the point against someone who did you wrong. Now, that'll hold you in sickness in many ways, Pastor, and I'm sorry I'm not letting you say anything right now, but I will in a minute. I had an incident. I guess you would call it a trigger in the past couple of years. I was getting these triggers out of the blue, where all of a sudden something would just rush me and I would have a horrible memory of something from my past that had taken place, and I had evidently forgot about it, and all of a sudden I would remember it. And it's overwhelming, Pastor, because I would literally be sitting there sewing a pair of pants and all of a sudden remember this, and it would take me to my knees. I couldn't breathe. It was just panic. It was just anxiety. And I'm going to professionals about it, and they're putting all kinds of names and labels on it and everything. And I really had to get a hold of myself and say, okay, Karen, hang on a minute. Do you really want to walk around with these labels in your life? Because these labels, even though they're diagnosed or documented or whatever, are going to label me and cause me to identify as that label.
Yes.
Or do you want to, in a very supernatural way, be able to overcome this? So I was talking to a therapist who was a Christian man. He goes, you know what, Karen, you need to, you have everything in you to handle your situation right now. I don't even think you need to see me anymore. You have such a sense, a source of power within you to overcome this. I deal with people who can't get out of the past. And because they're still memorizing all of that to this day, after month, after year, they have to resort to medication. They have to resort to therapeutic situations with light and all this other stuff. He goes, if you can stick to what you're telling me, you don't have to worry about these things. You don't have to get these labels and these diagnoses. And what I was sticking to, Pastor Lee, is simply what the Bible says. I know that I am going to recreate my curses or my blessings for my future by what I think Pastor Lee.
Yes.
I cannot think of the things that people did wrong to me that I will never hear accountability for. I will never hear an apology for. I cannot dwell in that, and I cannot think in that. Because if I do that, I am not forgiving. I am not giving up the power or desire to want to punish that person. What do you say, Pastor Lee?
I am so agreeing with what you're saying. I spent the last 3 or 4 nights in the Highlands, mountains of Virginia, by this really big, beautiful, clear, deep creek. It's trout season here. And I took a disabled veteran way up in the mountain fishing. You know, some of the stuff that we worked on in post-traumatic stress disorder, it became this, a leaf that washes by in that stream, has to wash completely away and out of sight. And then you have to quit remembering what it looked like. That's what forgiveness is, and letting go. That surrender that you were talking about.
Hmm.
Letting that power, removing that power, hurt, punish, letting it drift away. It takes a while.
Well, let me tell you something, because there's the next question. People are going to want to know, well, what did you do, Karen, when you would get that panic, anxiety, or whatever the heck it was?
Yeah.
You know, the labels could be endless. I probably got all kind of issues, Pastor Lee.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Join my club.
I'd rather not know. But here's what I do. Amy, and now I can almost smell it. You know, when something like that was about to overcome me, where all of a sudden the lid fell off the pot and these memories are coming back that I didn't even remember for my life. You know what I do, Pastor Lee?
I do.
I say out loud, I am who God says I am. I know I come from a house of darkness, a broken home, filled with neglect and abuse, mental illness and suicide. I know I should be dead, but he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I stand under an open heaven, not bound by anything. I am who God says I am, and I am blessed beyond the curse from that which I came. And I don't ever have to go back to that. That'll stop it, guys. You don't have to say it exactly like that, but as you can see, I've said it so many times now, I know it by heart. I know how to conquer this. And it's not through drugs and antidepressants and anti-anxiety medication. It's not for me. If you're doing it, I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you, as someone who answers to higher spiritual reasoning, I had to find a way to deal with it. I am who God says I am, and I'm blessed beyond the curse, Pastor Lee, the curse I came out of, and I don't ever have to go back to it.
That's right. And what you're saying is there is a way out. And the counselor researcher in me offers the formula. What you just said is a formula. First of all, you named it. You named what was binding you up. And then you unbound it. You spoke words after naming it. This doesn't have any power here anymore. And the third thing you did was you claimed and named a new reality. Those promises that you know of God, which are for your goodness, and for you to become a visionary dreamer, not rehearsing hurt over and over. Proverbs 23:7, if you think it in your heart, that's what you are. Just change it and think it in your heart. If that's what you just told it.
I choose not to let those memories cause me not to forgive people. I am letting go of the power when I do that, but I'm grasping onto another power. I'm letting go of the power to punish, but I'm grasping onto the power and the promises that are found in the Bible that I don't have to be the curse that I came out of. Right. And whether your curse is abuse, addiction, domestic violence, it doesn't matter. Whatever your abuse is, you are who God says you are, and you are set free from that in a very supernatural way. If you can believe that.
Good stuff,
Pastor Lee.
Right now. It is that simple.
It's that simple. And listen, so many people today, and again, I'm not knocking anybody, but the world, our country, on anti-anxiety and antidepressants is off the charts. It's to the point where we're medicating kids younger and younger that their hormones aren't even normal anymore. No. They're not producing the correct amount of testosterone and the things necessary to reproduce our species, for Pete's sake. It's killing it. It's causing such major issues because we're so scared about, you know, things that have happened. And that fear is not a spirit that God has given us. And we are required as spiritual people to understand we've got to come out of the physicality of bad things that happen to us and move on to the spirituality of all the goodness that God has waiting for us.
Yeah.
Man, I'm preaching tonight. You hear me?
Yes, I am. We could pass an offering plate in just a moment now.
Well, I would love that. Too bad it's radio.
It could be fitting.
I tell you what. Listen, you can be set free. You have to give up the power of wanting to hurt somebody that hurt you. And you can give up that power by understanding that you are not who they labeled you to be. You are not the victim they caused you to be. That supernaturally God has endowed upon you an ability to be blessed beyond your wildest measures. And he's got good things for you, man. So you got to let go of it because you can't get those good things if you don't let go of the power of wanting to see somebody else go down. If you don't let go of that power, God cannot give you the storehouse of what he has for you. That's how important it is that you let go of the desire to punish someone for doing something wrong to you.
Yes. Now, you know, there's going to be one big question that comes out of all of this powerful teaching. My question is, what can I do right now to get this going, to get this started? You know, I'd like to offer one answer because I know you'll finish it for me. The magic answer is become present where you are, not haunted by the past and all those voices and things that happen inside of your brain. Just get present where you're at. Smell what you're smelling. Become present with it. See what you're seeing. Be very present with what you're seeing. And you're releasing yourself from the past. Don't be daydreaming about what you got to do in 10 minutes. Be present.
You're saying some good things, Pastor, but your phone is getting fuzzy. At least it is on my end. But
oh,
I'm
no.
going to reiterate that what I hear you saying is to be present in the moment. And
yes.
don't sojourn back to the past constantly. And I hear you because I understand as a counselor myself that the biggest mistake I see people making is they do go back and they revisit. Now, don't get me wrong. Therapy, from a very scientific point of view, will mandate that you go back and revisit. But once you revisit, you put it away for good, and you don't keep bringing it back up. That would not be therapeutic. Something's wrong if you have to keep going into a therapy situation and hashing this stuff over and over again. You hash it one time, and then you release it. And it does have a therapeutic result with it. But where people get stuck, Pastor Lee, is they keep going back or they keep letting, in my case, they keep letting this stuff hijack them out of the blue. I mean, it does a number on you. So, I mean, your body is always trying, your psyche is always trying to fix things that you never dealt with. And when you're in a situation where you have to protect yourself, especially as a child, you don't have a chance to deal with a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is your mind and your psyche will store them in this pot with a lid on it. And for some reason, somewhere in your life, you could be triggered and cause that pot to go flying off. And then all of a sudden, you just get rushed with these memories. And I fully know what that feels like. And I don't want anybody to think I don't understand, because I do. I'm speaking from experience, but I want to let you know that you can bypass all the labels and not have them hung on you for the rest of your life to make you some kind of a victim, and let God supernaturally cause you to be able to deal with these situations by speaking and thinking blessings and not curses. Don't go back and revisit evil. Listen, if God delivered you from something, he doesn't want you to go back and revisit any situation. You know what I mean, Pastor Lee? You're not to go back.
Absolutely. You know, if a person needs a ritual to understand this, try this idea. Take a piece of rope and tie 4 or 5 knots in the rope. Those knots are going to represent the things that you haven't gotten over yet, things you won't forgive yet. And you tie that same rope to a doorknob or tie it to something. You hold one end of it and hold it straight. You know what needs to happen next? You need to drop your end of that rope. All those knots, just drop it. Now, if it feels better, take a pair of scissors and cut it. Let it fall to the floor, walk away, and say, you know what, I'm done with that. I'm done with that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be hijacked anymore.
People are going to be, but I can't. I can't, but I'm telling you, you have to. If you want to live a blessed life, you have to let go. So when the spiritual reasoning comes to you that says that you can't be fully complete in the Lord until you learn to forgive somebody, understand that that's not you having to be a martyr. That's God saying to you, I can't bless you 100%, fully and completely, if you don't let go of the evil energy that you're hanging on to. I can't do it. In closing with this message, Pastor Lee, I want to tell you what I did that helped me so much. And this is within the last couple of years, like I said, when I was dealing with the situations I've had to deal with. I actually purchased a piece of jewelry, a ring, and I took the birthstones of these two people that I felt like caused me to have to give up the desire or power to punish them for the things that had happened. And this was their birth date, these stones representing their dates. And I put their names on each side of their stones. And in the middle of the ring, if you look at it, it says, forgive. And I wear that every day. And I look at that, and it does help me forgive them. I actually acknowledge them and look at it every single day to help me move in the right path with this forgiveness ring, I call it. Because if I don't do that, I won't be able to daily let go of little tiny pieces. Because, again, it's not a big package you hand to somebody when you forgive them. It's sometimes just the tiniest of pieces. But every day I can let go a little more and a little more and a little more. And I'm coming back to a fullness that I know that I've been missing out in my life. And I just want to encourage you. Encourage you people, ladies and gentlemen, whoever's listening to me, to move in that direction, whatever you need to do symbolically, to just take a chance and let go of the power of having over them, of holding them responsible, of holding them accountable. Because you should know right now that the biggest crimes and the biggest sins and the biggest evil, people will not hold themselves accountable for them. And you're going to have to find a way to go on anyway. And I don't want you to turn to alcohol. No. And I don't want you to turn to medication, whether it's recreational or prescription. No. I don't want you to turn to anxiety and just anger. Anger is a symptomatic of unforgiveness. I don't want you to turn to that. I want you to supernaturally turn to God and understand and know that he's already planned out how you can have an abundant life in spite of all of this. Going to give you the last few seconds to say what you need, Pastor Lee.
I'd like to add to that. As a counselor, I learned for my own life and well-being, I have to unwind every tangle of pain in my life. That's no one else's job. That's my job. Unwind every tangle of pain. Well, some people created that pain for me, I think. Well, you know what? I have to untangle that one, too. And once I get the tangle straightened out, it's beautiful.
Hmm. And, you know, it's not like you have to hang out with someone who terribly mistreated you. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I can forgive you, but it doesn't mean I have to hang with you. I'm not a glutton for punishment. I don't want it to happen again, but I can actually get to the point in my life where I don't have the desire or power for you to be punished or mistreated because of what you've done to me. I can at least get to that point, and that'll be enough to crack open that vault to let the goodness start to come in. Well, listen, everybody, I hope that you have learned something, and I don't care if only two people. Pastor Lee, I don't care if it's just you and me listening. I learned something just by being able to expend this. And
you as well. Thank you.
Absolutely. And I know that in a very divine way, the people in the world across the planet who need to hear this message, they're going to get it because that's the way God works. I was the same way as a writer, still am. I don't care about who reads my stuff. I got to write it anyway. It's got to get out there. And in a very divine way, the stuff gets into the right hands. And because it was meant to be put out there, it builds from there. People often ask me about being a successful writer or being a successful broadcaster. I just tell them, listen, if you're called to do it, you're going to do it whether nobody listens or watches or reads or not. You have to do it because you're in your calling to do it.
Yeah.
And watch the magic that takes place. Don't worry about the money. Don't worry about how much you're going to get paid. The money will follow if you are on purpose, my friends. I promise you it'll follow. And in the meantime, you won't be stuck doing something that you know that you weren't called to do to pay the bills. That's never God's intention for us. But there is a magical, I don't know what it is, an action that just comes into fruition. When you get on purpose and you don't worry about the money, you just worry about doing the right thing because that's what God told you to do. You agree with that, my buddy Lee?
Well, every success story of the Old Testament has that as its theme. So, yes, I must agree with that.
I appreciate you being on here with me, my friend.
Appreciate
your journey. Every little trip up and every little trial you had was for the greater good. And none of us feel that way when we're getting tripped up or in trials. But how could I even do a show like this if I wasn't tripped up myself more than once? And how could you be there to understand and agree in your heart and to ad lib onto that if you haven't also been tripped up? And, you know, people with the greatest of wisdom are always the ones that had what I call suffrage. They've gone through stuff, you know, and, you know, here as a pastor, everything that you ever got, it was not handed to you. You weren't a successful pastor's son who gave them the mantle. You had to build up out of nothing to get where you are. And I appreciate that, and I appreciate your journey. And I'm the same way. Man, I wish my dad was Walter Cronkite or, Donald Trump. Somebody who could pass the mantle on to me in more than one way, but I didn't get that. It took so much time and effort for me to take out a broken foundation and put a good, strong one in its place, and I still haven't got it all in. But you know what? I'm moving in the right path, and I'm trying to do the right thing, and God honors that. You know, you let your light shine. You become the salt of the earth. You just have to move in the right direction, that's all. You don't have to make huge Superman changes. You just have to get the thought right in your head as a thought starter to move in the direction you're supposed to go. So there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm traveling a lot. I've got, October 31st, November the 1st. Going to be in Vegas speaking at Professor Gary Lee's event at Sam's Town. And that's a martial artsy event. You like that word, martial artsy?
I do.
It's a martial artsy event. So.
You need to copyright that for your own line of clothing for martial arts.
I've got a lot of words I come up with. Martial artsy. Of course, your favorite word is bollage.
Bollage.
I've got no bollage. I've got my own words. But anyway, then in the spring, I'm actually going on 30 years of teaching and training, and I'm going to be testing for Seventh Dan at the Cleveland Hall of Fame. I believe that's coming up in April. Then I've got some bigger, wider adventures going on here, looking at maybe Alaska also in the spring. And I think I'm going back to Vegas for another martial arts event with Native American Masters in January, which I'll tell you more about once I get that gelled. But anyway, pray for the Native American people, our women disappearing by the hundreds, being murdered and being kidnapped, and God just be with them wherever they are. Please pray for them. And if you would like to support my cause, I go to Native American tribal lands. I teach women and children self-defense, and I try to encourage the young people to do better because they have three times the drug and alcohol problems, twice the suicide rate. They live in poverty. The poverty situation is way worse than any other ethnicity in our country. So if you want to help out, hit me up. And I appreciate so many people that have helped out. I sell T-shirts or whatever I can sell to raise money. I just had a successful tour in the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area, and so many karate instructors let me into their schools and were buying my products with the proceeds that go to help with the Native American causes. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that. And Pastor Lee, how is all your work doing and all this stuff, and how can people get a hold of you?
Oh, yourwooddoctor.com is usually the best way to reach me. Still doing a lot of antique restoration work, but I have to confess, the last two weekends plus, I've been doing volunteer work with Project Healing Waters. And I'm a fly fishing guide. We take these disabled vets into trout fishing situations in the nature and work with how to heal those deep, hard places to forgive or just to get rid of. And last week, I got to guide a blind guy and catching trout in a mountain stream. This weekend, another disabled vet. It's wonderful volunteer work. So that's the joy here lately in October in these hills.
Hmm. Well, we appreciate you helping our vets. And ladies and gentlemen, let us know, hit us up and let us know if there's anything we can do for you.
Yes.
Pastor Lee is obviously the well experienced mega church type pastor dude. I've been in the pulpit before. I'd never really felt that was my call, and I'm very hands on with street ministries and prison and hospital ministries, and I'm in my calling to do that. But it's all work that we feel, it's all kingdom work that we know that we have been called to do. And so we're here for you if you need us for any reason. Just make sure it's good stuff. I don't want any arguments from anybody, no theological arguments or whatever. You know what? Let's just get busy and be one in the mind of Christ and do what we have to do, because who knows how much time we have, man? I tell you what, I can't believe I'm as old as I am. I'm like, what the heck happened? I still feel like I'm like, what, 19 when we used to hang out after the radio shows, right? You working for your rock station, and I worked for my top 40 station or whatever. I mean, it feels like I'm still that age. But I can tell you right now, when I go up and down steps, I know I'm not 19. I know I'm not. Anyway. All right, God bless you, brother. I'm going to get on out of here. We will see you guys next time on the Eden Assignment. You take care. And until then, get on your purpose and do what you got to do. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. Bye, Pastor Lee.
Bye-bye. Be well.